We're on.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. We are here for a discussion session regarding the village referendum, and I will turn it over to Dr. Adams.
Thank you. We have a couple of things we want to share with you, and Mr. Morrison has put together a PowerPoint with voice behind it, but we would like to wait until the other two board members are here, so we're going to talk about the timeline first. And then board members as well. I just have, when we're finished with this, I have a few updates on some meetings and things that I'd like to bring up to date on before we adjourn. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Morrison.
Thank you very much, Dr. Adams. Good afternoon, board members. Before you should have two handouts, one which is the 0.6 millage referendum timeline and update. And the second handout is, as Dr. Adams referenced, a PowerPoint that we put together as something we would like to share with the board and how we would like to disseminate some information and make the public aware that this referendum is upcoming. So when you look at the timeline, I'd like to start there. As you'll recall, the school board approved the resolution directing the county to place on the to ask the supervisor of elections to place the ballot, the referendum on the ballot. That was done on May 8th. The very next day, we forwarded it to the county commission for inclusion on the May 15th county commission meeting agenda. On May 15th, I actually attended the meeting. The county commission approved the resolution via 4-1 vote, and what I've done is I've attached the resolution to your handout that shows the 4-1 vote as it was that day, asking the supervisor of elections to place it on the ballot. The next day, we confirmed with the supervisor of elections that confirmed with the supervisor of election that she did in fact receive the ballot language from the county, so she does have that in her possession. As we've discussed, Friday, June 8th, it was the drop dead date for her to get the language. You obviously have met that requirement. And on Monday, June 11th, plans to return the ballot language to us to be proofread and make sure that everything that we submitted is the same and make sure that everything was correct. On Tuesday, July 10th, we are required by the Florida statutes regarding referendum issues to advertise in the paper 5 weeks away from the date of the election. So our first ad will be placed with the Press Journal on Tuesday, July 10th. We do have a quote, and I'll make reference to that as we get into the second page, from the Press Journal that the two ads will cost us about $2,100. So that will be the first ad that we have to send out. On Tuesday, July 10th, that week, the week of the 10th to the 17th, early voting ballots are put in the mail. They're sent out. And on July 24th, again, by statutory requirement, we have to send out a second ad regarding the referendum. And I did share with you the last time what it kind of looks like in the paper. It shows the referendum language and the resolution and signed by the board chair and the superintendent. So that will be done on July 24th, which is 3 weeks away from the actual voting date. On Saturday, August 4th, the early voting starts, and then on the 14th would be your primary election day. So some things that we are kind of doing behind the scenes, if you will, on page 2, we've listed kind of the roadshow, if you will. We have to establish, and we're kind of looking at the calendar to find the most appropriate date for this, that we have to establish a date for a town hall meeting. And I would say prior to the start of early voting on August 4th, so we're very truncated in the amount of time that we have left. Obviously, we want to do some sort of a presentation, if you will, and meet and review our PowerPoint and discuss the proposal with both our unions, with the IRCEA and the CWA unions. We are working to establish internal meetings of the Superintendent's Leadership Council and the executive team to develop a master PowerPoint presentation for the town hall meeting. We've done two in the past. We did one back in, I believe it was 2008, called Shining the Light on the Education Budget. And we also did another one when we had in 2010 when we did the 0.25 millage referendum. And we did them both at the IRSC Mueller campus. We rented that facility and did those presentations there. I know the superintendent's working right now with the Press Journal to establish a meeting date with them. We'd like to meet with their editorial board. I don't know if you want to chime in
on
that.
Yes, actually the date is set for June 6th at 1 o'clock. We're going to meet in St. Lucie County with the editorial board.
For those board members just joining us, we are referring to the schedule, the 0.6 millage referendum and timeline and update that you have in front of you. We are on page 2, and we were just discussing, I'll just go through the top items for you regarding the action plan and sort of a to-do list. We are looking at the calendar to establish a town hall meeting date prior to the start of early voting on August 4th so we can target those people that will be participating in the early voting process. We would like to meet and discuss with both unions our proposal for the millage. We're establishing ongoing internal meetings to develop a master PowerPoint presentation similar to the Shining the Light on the Education Budget and the 0.25 millage referendum that we conducted a couple of years ago. And as superintendent was just mentioning, that we have now established a meeting date of June 6th at 1 o'clock with the Press Journal's editorial board for us to discuss with them the upcoming millage referendum. So some of the things that have kind of taken place behind the scenes, just to update you, on Friday, May 11th, I was on the Bob Seuss show talking about the upcoming referendum and kind of putting the word out there. We've talked with the supervisor of elections on Monday regarding the next steps, and she's indicated she has received the ballot language from the county commission. They will place the language on the ballot, and they will be returning the ballot language to the school district for us to proofread it, and that's listed on the front of your page on Monday, June 11th. And so we have obviously met the qualifying date for her to receive the language, and we can expect the proof back from her on the 11th, or the 11th or the 12th. And we also confirmed again with the Press Journal with regards to the statutory requirement to advertise this, and we are doing a quote for half a page to run the ad on July 10th and 24th. One is 5 weeks away from the voting date, and one is 3 weeks away from the voting date of August 14th. The quote is for $2,167.20, so we have that information. I will get into a PowerPoint that we have put together, just something that we put together to kind of put the word out there. We hope to get some feedback from the board once we do that. But once we review it, we just talked a little bit about some distribution channels, how we want to kind of put that out there, put it on the district website. We've been having some discussions with Mr. Green's digital media services department. This is done in PowerPoint. However, there may be people out there that don't have Microsoft PowerPoint, so we can convert this into an actual video that when you log online, it will run in your browser, and we should be able to get that out there. The education channel, we would like to obviously put that on there as a distribution method. We put the Chamber of Commerce with a question sign. I believe maybe Mrs. Johnson brought that up at one point, that could be an avenue we could approach.
We're meeting on Friday.
Okay, so that would be great.
To give my limited information and to set a time that would be appropriate to meet with their board of directors.
Okay, great. We would like to, once we take a look at this, we would like to kind of ask the principals, maybe at a faculty meeting or something, to show this to their staff before the end of the school year. We know that teachers final day is on June 4th, and the 9- and 10-month employees are on June 1st. And 7 weeks to go till early voting.
Mrs. Johnson?
Yes, if I could do a follow-up. I don't know, Dr. Adams, if you were contacted, but the Guerras are interested in doing...
Oh, great.
They can do that. I don't know how long your PowerPoint is, but they can
7 minutes and 5 seconds.
Okay. Just in case you forget what I think they mentioned something like a 15-minute info block that they do occasionally.
Okay.
And my comment was that maybe if they could do something as soon as we have something available before school's out, which is parents seeing all their little children who are and then just before early voting starts.
Right.
4th through the 11th is early voting, so which you've already stated.
Okay.
4th through the 11th. So I did mention vaguely those two times. I'm happy to do follow-ups with them. Or I'm happy to hand that off.
Okay.
But I am meeting Friday with them Penny Chandler.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Friday, too. That's great with the chamber.
Okay.
To set something up at their board of directors.
Yes, with their board of directors, but it would either be for you and Mr. Morrison to go in, mm-hmm. or for you and Mr.
Right.
Mr. Morrison. I don't feel it's appropriate for me to be involved with that. I'm happy to set it up, but
right.
I don't feel that's appropriate. I think it needs to be people a little more... I don't want to answer questions. I don't know the answer.
We're glad to do it.
Thank you.
For those board members also joining us, attached to your timeline update, I put a copy of the resolution that the county passed on May 15th regarding placing the language on the referendum. And it's just a complete print, which includes our referendum language, so they passed it on.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, I've been asked by a couple of board members as to why one of the commissioners voted no. It wasn't no to the resolution, it was no to the timing. He felt very strongly that that it should be put on the general election ballot because there would be more people here. And in discussion with two of the commissioners, actually, they understood the rationale of people who are not going to be caught up in the entirety of elections that are going to be taking place and some of the things that may be negative that would impact that. But I just wanted my fellow board members to understand the nay vote was not in regards to the referendum. The nay vote was to the timing, which is part of what they had to approve. So that was...
Thank you. Okay, and so with that, we would like to take the time to show you the PowerPoint, and you'll hear Mr. Morrison's. We give him credit for putting this together, and we've done some tweaking, but I think it's pretty informational, and we'll look forward to your feedback.
And the thought behind this is that you could literally just put it in your computer, press play, and off it goes. So while we're listening to this, we just kind of keep that in mind.
The purpose of this short presentation is to make you, the public, aware that the School District of Ann Arbor County will be placing on the 2012 August primary election ballot a referendum question on whether the district will be permitted to continue to levy 0.6 mils for essential operating needs of the district. The vision and mission of the School District of Ann Arbor County. Our vision is to educate and inspire every student to be successful, and our mission is to serve all students with excellence. In 1990, the voters of Indian River County approved a general obligation bond of $61.4 million, which was slated for the construction of a North County High School, now Sebastian River High School, acquisition of land and construction of a South County Middle School, now Oslo Middle School, fund renovations to several elementary and middle schools, including a special education center, now Owasso School, associated water and sewer connections for several sites, and the acquisition of land for a South County high school. The millage that is currently levied by the district to pay off this debt obligation is set at 0.35 mils and is set to expire on June 30th, 2013, coinciding with the last debt payment on the bond. Also, in November of 2010, the voters of Indian River County approved the levy of 0.25 mils for critical operating needs of the district. This millage approval is set to expire on June 30, 2013. Proceeds from the millage enable the school district to fund teaching positions, purchase textbooks, workbooks, and materials, and a pro rata share was allocated to our charter schools. A sample of the ballot language approved by the voters is displayed on the right-hand side of this presentation. On October 29, 2011, the school district took out an ad in the Press Journal and reported back to the community how every dollar of the millage proceeds were spent by the school district. This unprecedented act of transparency was done to show our commitment to the taxpayers and public of Indian River County, that we are being good stewards of their hard-earned money, and that these funds were spent in accordance with the approved ballot language. As this next slide shows, the 1990 general obligation bond, as well as the 2010 critical needs millage, both expire at the end of 2012-13. If approved by the voters, the 0.6 millage would continue to be levied for a millage-neutral impact to the taxpayer based on these two expiring millages aforementioned. So, what is the impact to the taxpayer of the school district's proposal to continue to levy a 0.6 ad valorem millage? Based on the average value of a residential single-family home in Indian River County, the proposed millage would amount to approximately 21 cents per day for taxpayers. Keep in mind that this tax is already being paid and is merely a proposal for continuation by the school district. For 21 cents a day, are you willing to continue to support a high-performing school district as designated by the Florida Department of Education, an A-rated school district for 4 consecutive years? All schools within our district are rated either A or B, a graduation rate of 86.6%, a significantly low dropout rate of 0.3%, a district that has rigorous academic programs such as advanced placement, international baccalaureate, and where students have the opportunity to earn college credits while still in high school through our dual enrollment program. However, we are still not without our challenges, as we face an ever-escalating cost of operations. For example, in the areas of utilities for our facilities, fuel for our school buses, materials and supplies for our classrooms, just to name a few. In addition, we are dealing with a continued decline in local revenues due to the declining property values, which continue to erode the base of property tax income for the school district. Also, the economic recovery from the Great Recession is very fragile, and due to this, future uncertainty could force more budget cuts in fiscal 13-14. And finally, we are also dealing with the continuation by the Florida legislature to impose unfunded and underfunded mandates on the school district. Here are some examples of unfunded and underfunded mandates that the school district has to deal with in the course of its operations. As you can see, just by these examples, these add up to approximately $13 million of unfunded or underfunded mandates. If approved by the voters, the proceeds from the millage are recommended to be used as follows: for instructional support, such as purchasing textbooks, digital curriculum, and virtual programming. In addition, these funds would be used to continue funding 31 instructional positions that are being funded from the current referendum. These funds would also be used for technology systems and supporting infrastructure, such as upgrading core technological systems, provide support for classroom technology, and put in place the supporting technological infrastructure. This is the language that voters will be asked to consider at the August 14 primary election. Shall the school district's 0.6 ad valorem millage be continued for essential operating needs, such as teachers, instructional materials, and technology, in order to provide all students with high-quality educational opportunities beginning July 1, 2013, and ending 4 fiscal years later on June 30, 2017, with annual reporting to the citizenry? Yes for approval, no for rejection. So, where do we go from here? We need voters to make an informed decision on August 14, 2012. Please stay tuned for more information to follow from the school district on meetings with various organizations, civic groups, and any public meetings where the district will provide further information regarding its proposal, and where the public can have an opportunity to ask questions. Thank you.
Okay.
Another career.
Yeah, no.
You're not going anywhere, right?
I think it's very informational. You know, you don't have to have anybody up in front of you presenting it. You know, all the information is there with the voice in the background.
And, but it's not overkill. It isn't so down deep.
Exactly.
That people will be confused or take exception to one little tiny piece.
Exactly.
Well done, Mr. Morris.
Yeah, it's well done, and I really appreciate the emphasis on this as a continuation, not an additional. I do have a suggestion. When we look at the list of all of the items that are being paid for on number 9, I really think that we should include our career and technical education program. There's very little understanding in the community, and I think any opportunity we have to remind the voters that that's part of what their taxpayer dollars go for would go, you know, help.
It is mentioned in, as an unfunded mandate, right? Mm-hmm. And it does, it is
yes,
noted
in the bottom
on page
there.
11.
Career and Professional Academy is on the last line there.
Like we just had that conversation. The public doesn't understand
what that is.
Career and Professional Academy is what they know of,
you are on.
They know of as
vocational.
Miss Adventure.
I don't know about any of them. Why does it sound like it's on you?
Well, my turn.
Here, my knowledge.
Yeah,
this one's working out.
Are you sure?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You're
right. Mr. Pegler is
the only one who's
okay.
Like
yeah, and along those lines, on slide number 12, where you say upgrade four systems, you translate that into civilian language. Are you talking about computers? Are you talking about, I don't know, because again, we want people to understand what you're talking about.
Mr. McCain?
Yeah, Carter, I wanted to point out the one thing, and I just tried to not know anything and just look at the presentation. One thing that kind of, is on the same page on 12, as you're going through the recommended uses, where it does say the 31 positions funded through, and you kind of went through that a little fast, and it does say school-based personnel, but you don't actually say that.
Oh.
I think it might be to emphasize the point that it's not administrative positions, mm-hmm. You know. And I don't know how you want to do that, but that's just...
Say it in the audio.
Yeah.
Right.
And it says school-based personnel, but you don't actually say that.
Say it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will this be accessible any place besides our website?
Mm-hmm.
So don't we need a number if there's more questions, they need more information, a number of who to contact?
Okay.
We're not allowed to have this printed.
I hope to.
Yes, this is informational.
So
this is strictly information.
Okay, so we can take a stack. Just can you print some?
We can print some of this. We can make it shorter. We can give you a thumb drive, so when you go somewhere and you want to present, you can have this information at your fingertips. You know, we want to do all of those kinds of things, and maybe do a, if we printed it, put like a couple on a page, front
right,
back, so it would
right.
Only maybe be 5 or 6 pages.
I think I can. I think we can also tweak the transition time between each slide to get it down a little bit and keep the flow going.
Right.
Not too fast, but keep
right.
It flowing. So we can probably cut out a little bit more time by doing that.
I thought page 11 was great.
Yeah,
that was really, really good to add. Is it really,
right.
I mean, it's something tangible that breaks down
right.
What we have and what we don't.
Just one more question. In terms of getting a copy of this, would it be possible to get a copy of this with the script
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. basically, yes, when mm-hmm. you copy the file, it does bring the script in.
Okay, so it's going to be just a slide, a handout with the slides and little lines. It's going to be a handout with the text.
You can print it to show the notes, or you can print it just to show like what you're seeing in front of you. And when you run the program, it just shows, you know, the presentation. So,
So my question is, are you suggesting that on the handout for people that you give it to, you want the script with it?
No,
or for yourself?
So we got a group on Saturday, and they're not going to have technology.
Yeah. Okay.
But if I have the script, I can give them the handout, and I can kind of walk them through it, and
we can do that. We can do that. Yes, we can do that.
Just bring Mr. Morrison with you. Mrs. Johnson.
I'm assuming that on page 11, digital learning options. Don't you think it'd be easier if you specified what that is?
Okay.
Just do a parens or something.
Okay.
I mean, I know that's what it says, but but they also need to
what is that?
Real language what it is.
Any other comments?
And then I mentioned to Carter on that one place on the where we could say 4 years prior to, there was on the seven. You show 4 years, but you don't mention 4 years. This is for 4 years.
Okay.
Where would you put it?
In his discussion, he mentioned that this is, we're asking them for to consider this for 4 years.
Okay.
This is Dennis, isn't it?
Oh, Ms. Dennis.
Yeah, and on page 11, the third item down, the differentiated page, should we replace that with another unfunded mandate?
In 2014, we'll have to negotiate with both with our unions for a performance pay, actually for teachers and also for administrators, and that's Manatee has already come out and said this is an unfunded mandate. We will have to cut our budget just to fund this in 2014.
And you might even say it differently. You might say performance pay. I mean, that's basically what
pay.
It's going to be.
Right, because we just had the conversation about differentiated pay, so that could be misleading.
Right.
Yeah.
Back to page 9 a couple of times. And it says cost to taxpayers. And I'm Joe Citizen sitting out there, and you handed that to me. I'm thinking, you know, I don't have all this knowledge that the people at this table have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to cost me 21 cents a day. It's already costing me 21 cents a day, but I don't know that. It says cost to taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Is there something
costs.
We can do in tweaking that page to say
no additional cost
for 21 cents a day, you will continue supporting, but no additional cost or something?
That's better.
Plus 21 cents a day reminds me of one of his commercials. Are you sponsoring a child?
You will be sponsoring a lot of
things. That's all I can think of.
I saw this and 21 cents a day and I was going to say, wait a minute, you need to rethink this, but in listening to your proposal, I think you do a good job of explaining that it's a continuation.
Right.
However, if you just have this without the explanation, I think it does come across all Sally Struthers and that's a good
Mrs. Johnson.
And because this is still back on page 9, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
On page 9, back to this 421 cents a day.
are you willing to continue supporting? And only because that's kind of what I've done in my career, I would suggest on the first line you have for 21 cents a day. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a second line anyway. Second line, probably you want to read, are you willing to continue supporting? But for 21 cents a day has its own impact. Are you willing to continue supporting has a secondary impact. And I understand why this happened, because you ran out of room. But but I think you may want to look at it that way. Is if you're just looking at the pure page, it'll also have better balance than what you have there. Because you see 21 cents in supporting.
Good.
Good suggestions. Okay. Well, with your permission, then, we're going to move ahead. We'll
great
make
job.
The changes. We'll get a handout with comments, without, and a thumb drive for each of you that will have the recording.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah,
whichever,
yeah.
Or both.
I don't know that with our email system, this could clog it up, or you could not you could get an email until, so maybe a thumb drive would be better.
One okay. more flyer, and I'm
and you're done, you're shut down.
I'm constantly bleeding.
I know.
Yeah,
it's like full every day.
Uh-huh. Right.
Your mailbox is full.
Because flyers that are
forwarded.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, well, they do. Bruce was the one that mentioned one time, everything has so much more with it. You know, the emails that you get, you know, graphics, charts, flyers, all of it. So it takes up
yeah,
so much
when I use
space.
Publisher, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right, so is that
it? We have a couple of updates.
We have a couple of updates. You go ahead, Dr. Adams.
We do have a couple of updates, and one is that on May 29th, which is next Tuesday, we have scheduled a special meeting if we need it. That would be to ratify CWA vote, okay? And which would be very short if we do need it. Regardless, I'd like to schedule immediately following, with your permission, or in lieu of, if we don't have the special meeting, a meeting to discuss the Beachland car loop and parent pickup. A group of us met again this morning. We are ready to do another presentation to you regarding that. Mr. Falls from the
city
is willing to come in and meet with us as well. So if you're able to meet at that time, we'd like to do the parent and bus loop prior to the elementary comprehensive study, because they're like two different things. If we could get the bus loop and this kind of underway, the second part of what we do with Beachland Elementary would be a follow-up. We need to do something now with the bus, get started on the bus loop and the parent pickup. So we have another option.
Ms. Jimenez?
I understand that, and I guess maybe we'll talk about this then on Tuesday, but I see it differently. I see a connection, because if we know what the numbers are going to be, we can make sure that that loop is going to address the population that is there. And right now we're working with 600. Is this loop designed for 750 kids? And my understanding is that over the summer we were going to have a conversation as to whether or not that is what the board wants to do. So we're making a decision that's contingent upon a decision and conversation that hasn't been had. So that's
right.
Where I'm a little confused.
There is a problem now. We have a problem at Beachland with parents, you know, with the 600 that we have. So this option that we're bringing you would accommodate either. It would accommodate the number of students we have now, if we had 50 more, if we had 100 more. This plan that we're bringing would accommodate that. So we'd just like to share it with you, but we think it's important to bring that forward. And it will take care of either situation, Mrs. Jimenez. But right now, we do have to come up with a plan to alleviate the backing up on, you know, by the bridge and the bus area.
Mrs. Disney, or is that Mrs. Johnson?
Just curious about why we scheduled it for 9 a.m. instead of following the formula and scheduling the 1 p.m. first.
That's a good, I think,
because we thought it was going to be so brief.
The special board meeting. Right.
So we were going to just do it at 9 to get it over with. But that was before we decided we were going to have...
There's graduations that night. That's why I was, you know, feeling like using the afternoon and then going into the evening made more efficient.
Graduation? Which graduation? On the 29th,
there's
I'm talking about Tuesday.
Yeah, there's two different graduations that night. They were
I'm sorry, Ms.
Actually, I like that time because I had an appointment scheduled in Melbourne, and so I changed it to be there at noon. And so if we... I mean, I can reschedule again if need be because, you know, this is the priority, but I need to have to reschedule.
Mrs. Johnson.
Yes, and I need to tell the board that... I had, as I spoke with Dr. Adams, I was going to do a call-in since it was going to be a brief meeting at 9 a.m. So I will not be in town, but I would still call in at 9, be available if we're going to have that discussion. Dr. Adams assured me that when I do get back into town, that she and I have a few minutes, or Mr. Morris and I, or whomever, just to get me up to speed. And the follow-up on that is if the board decides we would like to move forward to another public hearing, are we going to try and do that in a relatively short amount of time?
Yeah. I think part of the discussion is whether there's a need to do that with what we're proposing. So we'll have that discussion on Tuesday, if that's okay. What we found out is I think the city has to have a public hearing. Did they think this
through the site plan approval process, yes.
There will be another public hearing.
Can I just ask a question? Because I'm a little bit confused as to where we are. They came in and we decided we were going to go the Date Palm Mockingbird, and I thought that was
that wasn't the first one. That was the second.
The second one, and I thought that we were good to go with that.
Nope.
Okay, so that has changed. Okay. Did everybody know that?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
know.
I didn't know.
I think Ms. Jimenez and I knew because we were there because there seemed to be a lack of.
Oh, Mr. Johnson.
There seemed to be a lack of communication between our staff and the City of Vero Beach because there were comments being made that the City of Vero Beach was not allowing us to do certain things. And finally, Mr. O'Connor was put on the spot by a member in the audience, and he said, no, that is not what the City of Vero Beach had said. So that was one of several incidents.
About using Date Palm and Mockingbird?
About not using an alternative route.
About not going under the bridge and coming around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just a little bit embarrassed because we were under the impression that Date Palm and Mockingbird was done, and that's what we were going to use. So
but
I'm a little bit...
We were under an assumption that other things were not going to be allowed to be considered. So we didn't know until we got to that meeting that assumption, you can only go with the information you have. And I think it was a lack of communication and a lack of, you have to ask the right question to get the right answer. And I'm not too sure if staff didn't ask the right question and got asked the wrong question and got the wrong answer. I don't need to judge that. But I appreciate that everybody, including our staff and Mr. Binkley and everyone there that evening said, we will be back, we hear you.
Just in response to that, my point is we sat in an information session, they came in, everything was laid out, we said we're going to go Date Palm and Mockingbird before the board meeting when everyone was going to speak, we made an announcement that we had an alternate route, we were going to use Date Palm and Mockingbird, and I'm just confused when we decided we weren't going to use Date Palm and Mockingbird anymore.
I didn't know that.
All options are still out there. There has been no decision on what's going to be done, so I get your confusion because... It was only after the feedback session of taking the Date Palm forward that they would like to have had something else considered. So we felt at our information session that was going to be an option that might work. It was only after that, and we didn't get information back to you. But I can honestly tell you, even after today's meeting, I think there could be more than one option on the board, but we're trying to bring you up to date on everything that we've talked about. And that's why on Tuesday when we come forward, we will show you the different options that are out there and some of the drawings so that you can see the whole picture and then where we are right now with trying to please everybody. And that's where we are right now, trying to make all factions happy with
some
type of...
Well, you're not going to be all factions.
But I understand, Mr. Peck. Pegler's confusion, because I think one of the things that tends to work against us as board members is that sometimes we just don't have the information we need in a timely manner. And so, and I know that as one of the board members that was at that meeting, we didn't have a chance to really have a conversation, but maybe, you know, the district can look at their practices in communicating and determine when it's important after an event like this occurs to just send the board members a courtesy email and say, this is what happened at the last meeting. We just want you to know we're going back to the drawing board because, you know, honestly, I at some point wanted to suspend my subscription to the Press Journal for numerous reasons. And I did, and then I found out that that's one of the sources that I have as a school board member of information about my school district, which is not a good thing to have to say. Right. So we have to find better ways of maybe communicating, and I know it's not intentional because there's so much going on, but it does help us. We should be a little bit ahead of the game because people will continue emailing us, and you know, I kept saying, well, that's the plan, well, that's the plan, and while you're saying that, you can't officially say we went to a meeting and this is what happened because that's not the what we know as a board.
Mrs. Disney.
Yes, to your point, I've been continuing to give that information to the public as they've called me. So I had no idea that it would even be considered to go a different direction because what we heard in the information session was, I thought, where we were going. So.
And as I'm certain Ms. DiAgresta will attest, Ms. Jimenez and I can't talk to each other, much less convey our interpretation to you all. So it has to fall to staff, and that's an awareness.
Sure,
that's not a criticism. That is definitely an awareness. And we also, as two board members, I know the only thing I did say to Ms. Jimenez was I had to sit on my hands because I really felt it wasn't appropriate for me to discuss something as an individual board member or to reply to things that I knew had been part of board discussions. So, and Dr. Adams, just as a point of information, if this session on the 29th about Beachland, if I could do, I don't need to be hands-on, but I would like to be ears-on if I could. Somehow we can make that work,
sure.
If that's
okay.
All right. I know he can make.
What I was thinking for that is we'll do the board meeting and then we'll notice are we going to do a discussion session?
Yes.
Immediately following the board meeting so we can roll right into it. You won't have to get off. We'll do it here.
That'd
we'll just start right
That would be great.
Is that okay with
that'd
everyone?
That would be great.
Okay.
Okay, so that's one.
Okay.
That's one thing.
So that's May, Judy, that's May 29th. Then we'll do the Beachland. What do you want to call it? Beachland Parking Loop?
Beachland Bus and Parent Loop. Both.
Discussion session immediately following the board meeting.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was going to add a race to the bottom.
Oh, perfect. Oh, great.
Yeah, so
they'll
know it's out there.
Thanks. Great.
Is it part of the board meeting? It's not part of the special board meeting.
No,
so
it's
no.
Separate.
Can't be
separate.
Part of the
so we do a
special
separate.
It's apples and oranges.
So you're going to schedule 9 and then 9:30 sort of thing?
So, yeah, we'll just... And then if we don't need to have the board meeting...
We come in at 9:30.
Right. But if I could just stay on the line...
Sure, yeah,
we'll
just keep you on.
Nobody gets
away. And then another update is that it does not appear that we're going to need the administrative hearing on June 12th. But what we'd like to do is to use that time for a workshop for student accident insurance. You know, when we did our property casual, the student accident insurance wasn't part of that. We'd like to bring Cyber back, and we're prepared now to bring information to the board regarding the student accident insurance. And that would be in place of the June 12th, 9 o'clock hearing.
I think
yes,
we do.
Yes,
we do.
Yes.
Mrs. Disney, is that good with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Days.
So we'll do
it's
that on the 12th.
Yes.
That's the day
to do. Do you?
Freedom for FSBA.
Yes.
Do you think, I'm going back now, and I'm just talking about Beachland, because there were a lot of things that I was thinking about when we had our previous discussion regarding mm-hmm. conservation easement and everything that now are more
right.
fluid in my mind. Would we have any information about title to the property by then, do you think?
I haven't gotten a legal description
yet. So you haven't, okay. It's fine, not in a rush, but it's just
yeah.
going to... Yeah? Oh, go ahead. Whoa.
As far as that goes, I just spoke with Mr. O'Connor, and he actually has a copy of the resolution.
Ooh.
And I will, when we finish today, I will call him and tell him that please send it to Ms. DiAgresta so she has that, where they made it very clear they don't want that property back as long as it's being used as a school or any part of that property. So, but he does have a copy of the actual resolution where, and it was a follow-up to the school itself, but there was an actual resolution and stuff.
And one of the things is we're trying to keep them separate right now. If we could get the bus and the parent loop under, you know, try and come up with something that we can all agree on and get to the city and then deal with the conservation, because this is...
It's two separate things.
It's two separate things. And you can give that property away anytime. You don't have to rush.
The board doesn't actually... We don't vote on... You're doing this more, I mean, the...
It's information.
It's information, yes. But it's ultimately a staff decision,
yes.
Your decision about
well,
what we're going to do.
Well, because it's such a, you know,
right,
because
I just
it's
wanted to make
impacting
sure, okay.
a lot of people we're trying
because,
to
yeah.
bring...
trying to process it.
Well, but...
Mrs. Johnson.
But we have to, if I'm not mistaken, we have to, as part of the city's requirement, even though we are somewhat autonomous, we still have to have, as part of their requirements, we have to have another... That's why I said, when are we going to schedule this? Because we have to have that site plan, administrative site approval.
The master plan approval,
yeah.
There's a process you have to go through
right.
that does require a public hearing. I guess the question is, we've already had two public meetings. They may require us to have another. We may just want to do it on our own. I'm not sure if I've made that decision.
I think not to do it at this point.
We'd like to talk
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, we
own.
Want to just want to talk
yeah.
about
that. We'd like to talk about
it. I just want to follow up on your comment, because we went from one thing to another.
Yes.
Your comment was about the conservation easement
right.
as to who makes the call, as to whether we engage in that process, or were you talking about the public hearing?
I was talking,
just got
I was talking about the actual... The first thing I was talking about was just revisiting... getting more information about the conservation easement, because what's happening now, I was looking at that based on our plan to use Dave Holm and Mockingbird. I'm just looking at the whole picture. The second thing was whether the board has to vote on the actual parking. The,
okay.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I just a little, had it all mixed up.
So that was the second one. And the third is... We'd just like to talk a little bit about sick and vacation leave. There's been a lot said about that in the last week or so. And so Mr. Morrison is going to give us an update on
sure.
on that.
We received some information from one of our legislative contacts, Mixon and Associates, that they were looking at forming a task force to look at the sick and vacation issue nationally in the state of Florida, just do some studies on it. I just got a note here that Mr. Crawford returned my call, and he said based on recent press reports, he expects that there will be some discussion on the sick and vacation leave for next year and next year's legislative session. When we left the workshop on the sick and vacation, we got the sense that the board wants us to move forward with the sick leave buyback program as an option that would be available for employees. At this point, we're a little unsure whether or not we need to come back with a recommendation now regarding sick and leave policies, or wait until the legislative session kicks in next year, because they may nullify everything that the board does. So we just kind of want to bring that forward to your attention, that it may be in your best interest to hold off and see what the legislature does, or if you still say we want to move forward, we would bring back something to you.
Mrs. Disney.
I think it would be valuable to have a conversation with the two community groups, find out if it's even they're interested in, but if they're not, and there's possible pending legislation, then we are just making work for ourselves. And, but if they are interested, I think it might be valuable to go forward, because it's clearly something that could benefit our employees. But also, we've seen in the past that when you show a proactive policy in our districts, that sometimes the legislation will not apply to us. And I would certainly rather make our own rules about it than have the state dictate to us.
Okay. Anyone else?
No, I'd be willing to go forward. As you know, I think the fact that it is an optional program is purely optional, and it's a way to get
the buyback.
There are some folks who could use a little money in their pockets now.
Yeah. But you're right, it has to be negotiated. So
So I'm clear, I'm sorry. On the sick buyback optional program, move forward and negotiate that and move forward with that. I'm unclear as to the other recommendations with respect to looking at, for example, when you separate from employment with the district, should it be by retirement only that you're paid out for those kinds of things?
Yep.
Referring to the other policies, are we suggesting that we should move forward with those as well, or based on the proactivity of doing something at the local level? I'm sorry, I missed the point.
It's my understanding that the employees now that would be retiring have those rights to that sick and vacation time.
That's
so
correct.
Any changes we make would not impact these upcoming retirements.
The buckets of accrued leave. That's
right.
Correct.
It would be anyone who's hired.
New. Yes.
Yes. So is it possible to make hiring conditional? I mean, make hiring, when you hire someone, have it that they are going to have whatever the state.
We simply don't know what or if the state is going to take action.
No.
So we need for employees to have some bucket of benefits when they start, so that we then know how to treat them in the future.
Which is also negotiated.
That's right.
So I would say we leave that alone and don't, you know, stir up any fires there, and they might not be necessary because it may be mandated anyway.
Mrs. Johnson?
Just a point of clarification, because you did mention at retirement, because there we do have some counties that you only get that at the time you retire. Is that correct? It is not because you're leaving, it's because you're retiring.
The issue that you're talking about is with terminable leave.
Right.
Your current policy allows someone that has a bucket of accrued leave and they terminate or separate from employment, it allows that employee to be paid out for their terminable leave. Other school boards in the state, I'm not saying all of them, but other school boards in the state have limited that and only allow folks that retire through FRS or another state retirement system to be eligible to pull terminable pay out of their bucket. So that is something that is done elsewhere that you can certainly consider.
I just wanted to clarify that for the record.
And
then we currently, when someone has to draw upon their terminable leave bucket, if they work for the district, say, for 25 years, but if they're not at retirement, but they had to leave to
for
go somewhere else for whatever reason, under current policies, they get that bucket.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so if we were to make changes, that bucket could go away if those changes were made in the future, not
yes.
for current
future.
Employees.
Right. Yes.
But that's not something this board has decided to do.
That's right.
I assume it would be part of our discussion.
I guess the question is the timing of when we do this.
Yeah.
Do we do it now and, as you said, stir up the... or do we sort of see what the legislature comes with and be in compliance with that? I'm unsure of it. I didn't get the straight directive to move forward or hold off.
Mrs. Johnson?
We know that there's proposals that are already being talked about out there. They're going before the legislature. And I do understand the point of being proactive, but I think that sometimes proactive can get confusing if people don't understand. You know, when in doubt, don't, is what my grandmother used to say, Carol Kay, when in doubt, don't. So I'm also wondering if we want to start this discussion. We have a referendum. We're hoping to, I mean, why would we benefit starting this discussion now, where we could actually lose ground, I think, in some areas if we started this discussion now, especially if the legislature is going to be, we know they're already talking about it. It is a hot topic nationally, not just in our state. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind having a workshop on it, but as far as putting out proposals, I would be very reluctant at this time to throw something else out there to the public that might confuse them in their thinking. I think it's going to be a hard enough sell, quite honestly, for the referendum period, because for lots of reasons, you know, they're not just upset with education, they're upset with the state. And I know everyone must have experienced the same thing I did, as far as we've lowered the bar again with the FCAT. I'm tired of hearing that one. I've heard that 3 or 4 days now, so thank you very much.
Anyone else?
So let's go back one more time. I heard what Mrs. Johnson said, but are we talking about buyout as well, or are you looking at that as a separate issue? In other words, we can move ahead and talk about giving teachers or employees the opportunity to get some dollars back based on sick days and buying back some. Okay.
Yes.
The rest of it, we'll wait. Until
yes.
we see
yes.
what happens. Okay.
The
all right. Thank you.
Crystal clear.
I just want to say I so believe that this is a good thing for our employees, mm-hmm. and that it the side effect of it could mean more days in front of their students.
Exactly.
That whether or not it's going to impact the referendum, I still think we need to go forward with it, because I believe it's a good thing for our employees.
And I would agree with you. And it does have to be negotiated, so that is something that we can begin to discuss.
Yes.
And those are really the updates that we have for you, unless you have any
questions. We met with MVV.
Right. We did meet with MVV on the parking area, or the parent loop, with Osceola. And they've been working back and forth, and we did come up with 3 additional spots. So we continue to work together and look at it, and there's good conversation going back and forth and collaboration, but it's not, we weren't able to pick up the, you know, the number of spots that we all thought we might be able to do. Boxes are being constantly packed at Osceola. I got a note from Mr. Chuma, the media center at Osceola is the staging area. So what they do is they get the boxes, they fill them up, they go to the media center. From the media center, they're transported, to the school. So they're working, you know, together to make sure that the boxes get back in a timely manner so that they can continue to pack.
Mrs. Johnson.
And I apologize, Dr. Adams, for springing this on you. I try not to do that very often. Since we're talking about Osceola,
mm-hmm.
Is there a proposal to use the old Osceola for any staff?
No.
Thank you. Because that is out there.
Yeah.
So.
I heard that the other day.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Right now, I would want the board to remember that a lot of Osceola is under what it is when you tear it down.
The Gestalt analysis.
The Gestalt analysis said there is much of that campus that would have to be removed. You know, once we get all done, and you might want to look at the campus and say, what can be saved, but there's no plans right now to do anything at Osceola. You know, I don't know that, except maybe sell it, you know.
But according to Castaldi, they recommend only two buildings.
Exactly.
That are habitable.
That's right.
Love for them to take a look at this one.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Anyone else?
But thank you for bringing it up, because we want to squash some.
And I try not to do that.
Okay, then I think that we are done. We'll be back at 6.
Okay. Oh, bless her.
Beecher.
I am so happy.
Oh, yes.